Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're live at Topgolf in Baltimore. Come on down and see us. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. Orioles beat the Guardians 9-5 yesterday. They got a four-game split with the Guardians. Off today in Toronto tomorrow. Tied with the Yankees with 49 games to go. It's a perfect time. Talk to one of our favorites, former Orioles manager. Now with MLB Network, it's Buck Showalter. And, Buck, thank you, as always, for joining us. So first and foremost, how do you stack these two teams, the Orioles and Yankees, as we head down the stretch?
Well, you know, just enjoy it. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, the sprint happens in September. Right now, everybody's kind of jockeying around the back stretch to get in position. I think the trade deadline's had a lot to do with it. You know, very different clubs in a lot of ways. And it's going to be intriguing and fun to watch. I'm happy for the Orioles fans because they're going to have a lot of fun the next 2 months. And, you know, just keep a long memory of how good they are and the way things have turned for them. And, you know, the expectations now, that's what I was waiting to see this year, because the first time a young team has expectations of going to the next level, and they've responded very well. And it's been fun to watch.
Well, Buck, when we get to the deadline, we often think of it through the general manager's portal, right? Or what does it do for the fans? Or how does it maybe energize a clubhouse that needs some energy and a shot of adrenaline? But you obviously see it through the manager's eyes. And after the Austin Hayes trade, I was actually wondering what you thought of it. And I'm driving home from the studio, and you're talking about Dominguez and saying, you know, hey, I kind of would prefer a sure thing. Like, oh, does he have to drop his sinker? Like, can he get lefties and righties out? Why is he going from high leverage to low leverage? Like, fixing guys in August can be tricky, and Soto's another one who clearly needs some fixing, and he can't get righties out. How difficult can that be as a manager when you're taking on maybe guys who are projects or guys who are going to be asked to do more here than they were able to do for the Phillies, for instance?
Well, they have a track record of having done it in the past at a higher level than they were doing it the first part of the season. But, you know, I was very careful as a manager. When you're talking about trades and this player and wanting this and wanting that, well, it's going to affect somebody in your clubhouse. I mean, it's very – it's not fair to an Austin Hayes or somebody to be saying we need this and we need that, because the players know that's not your job. This time of year, the players know someone's going to be leaving there. They just don't expand the roster to 40 anymore to make room for all these guys, especially in August. But I always try to stay in my job description. You know, if they ask me about how this would fit or what have you, I think the Orioles made 7 deals. You know, they're out there now. You know, sometimes when you say, okay, we're going to build with the prospects and that's who we are and that's our identity, that's fine. Now all of a sudden you make a lot of these deals and you start moving some of these young guys. You know, you got to keep your identity, and you know, you don't want to confuse the fans, but, you know, it was obvious that they had the ability to go do some things, and they did. And sometimes just a change of scenery gets somebody going a little bit. I'm always real careful when I hear people say, well, let's get him because we could fix him. Oh, really? So you're smarter than all the other pitching coaches and all the people that I'd be careful about thinking that we're going to all of a sudden solve the – I think they, at the end of the day, guys are kind of who they are. But it's always been fun to watch these young players because you don't know where the ceiling is on them. There's still six or seven guys that were there when I was there, and it's been fun to watch them develop.
Buck, the closer situation. We've seen Craig Kimbrell really take his lumps lately. He's gotten taken out of the ninth inning role. We've seen Yennier Cano. We saw Sir Anthony Dominguez yesterday. Do you expect this to be a possible closer by committee? Do you think that Kimbrell will get his job back?
Well, everybody would love to have Mariano Rivera sitting there. There's only about three or four of those in the game. I mean, it's just, you know, I think sometimes managers, we could all of a sudden take everybody's ego out of it and the pay scale and just say, listen, we're going to put the best guy out there that's the most rested and the best matchup for them with the hitters they have coming up. There's some advantage to that because, you know, you can't force something that's just not there. You know, Kimball's got a track record of it. You never know when a star might be falling on you. But you do, you know, if the want to and the health is there, there is something to be said about having been there. But you're looking at all avenues because games mean a lot now. And, you know, let's look at it. The playoffs a little bit are just get in and then roll the dice. You know, October is a whole different time for teams. So, you know, yeah, you'd love to win the division, and that's right at the top. You'd love to beat the Yankees and have some advantages in the playoffs as far as home games. But at the same time, it's just stay consistent and try to be who you are.
Talking to Buck Showalter, it's Inside Access here on the Fan. Buck, you made an interesting comment. You were talking about this team and the 101 games a year ago, and you wanted to see what they look like this year when there's now pressure on them, and here they are in first place. And it takes me back to the being beyond this rebuild. And the rebuild doesn't always work. Look at the Chicago White Sox, who, you know, one year they did go to the playoffs, and now they're 60 games under 500. So rebuilds aren't guaranteed. Does that make you more impressed with what they've done here in Baltimore?
No, you know, I think there's some blueprints for it, the way other people have done it. I think Sig does a great job behind the scenes with player acquisition, as do a lot of their other people. He's not the only one. I just, you know, everybody wants to very quickly take away from what somebody's done. You know, yeah, you're drafting the first four or five picks for two or three years, and heck, let's face it, guys, you and I could take that guy. But what really has impressed me is that second through seventh round picks. You look down through the history of some of these guys that are starting to burst on the scene, they're not all that first 10 guy pick in the country. You know, they do a good job. When I look at a scouting department, I want to know how they're doing 2 through 10, 2 through 7 in today's game. That really tells you, you know, your knowledge and your ability to project players and also have faith that your people can take a flaw and make it and fix it. You know, I always said, let's have enough confidence in our minor league development people, having been there, to draft that flawed player that they can develop and fix whatever might need fixing, because they can run real well and they can throw real well, and those two tools don't usually improve a lot.
Well, Buck, we as much as this rebuild has been incredibly robust and them being on the other side of it, we're kind of waiting to see, like, when do they extend somebody? When does somebody get a multi-year deal to stick around here? You were privy to the very beginnings of Anthony Santander's career and him being plucked away, you know, as a high A player or whatever in the Carolina League for the then Indians at the time, had a different name. When you see him now and what he's become and one of the best switch hitters in baseball, is there a part of you that wonders, is he a guy who you buy his age 30, age 31, age 32 season and try to keep him around here?
It's tough, guys, to be able to project that. You know, I remember the first time I saw Anthony, he was talking to Dan Duquette, and he was basically hurt in A-ball in Kinston, I believe it was. And what a job of projecting. Now, obviously, we had to suck it up a little bit for a year or two with him before he started hitting his stride. And, you know, you look back at anybody having success, I'll show you some people that had to kind of wear it for a little while. But you know, when people say you've got to sign somebody, be careful. No, you don't. No, you don't. I can name you three or four guys right now that, oh, gosh, you got to sign this player. Oh, you got – well, now you look back at it. You know, being able to project where that's going to go down, you also have to have somebody to replace him. I'd love to see Anthony play his whole big league career there. I think everybody would. But I'll leave that up to the people that evaluate. They know a lot more about it than I do. And But I'd just be careful about saying, oh, you've got to do this. No, you don't.
Buck, Jackson Holliday, his first call-up earlier in the year, looked really, really overwhelmed, went down for an extended reset, and boy, has he been hitting the cover off the baseball. What have you seen from young Jackson Holliday in this second stint?
Well, obviously his contact-to-damage ratio is real high. I love the fact, looking at his history, that this guy's had a lot of base on balls everywhere he's been, and that's it doesn't always initially correlate to the big leagues initially, but then it eventually will. Obviously, he's had a couple of hits that have been, big damage. But they all go through those growing pains. It's the biggest jump in professional sports, in baseball, from the level of AAA to the big leagues in the pitching that you see. So most guys are going to have some struggles when they first come up. You can count them on one really small hand. The guys that just pick up right where they left off in AAA, it just doesn't happen. So those growing pains, sometimes it's two or three times back and forth before the good ones figure it out. Billy Martin told me a long time ago, Buck, try as you may, you can't screw up the good ones. And I think he's a good one.
Buck Showalter, it's always great to talk to you, sir. Thank you so much for your time. We always appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me. Nobody's that busy. God bless you guys. Take care. Good luck to the Orioles. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much, Buck. Hey, coming up next, we're talking Orioles, but let's see what's going on in the rest of baseball. Our TWIB notes, Yankees just finished a series with the Blue Jays, Astros, and the Rays, and Blake Snell threw a no-hitter. It's our TWIB notes next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Driven out deep to left center field. That ball is going to be off the top of the wall and into the bullpen for a home run. And the Yankees lead 3-2.
Yes, network on the call. Yankees end up beating the Blue Jays in 10 innings, 4-3. DJ LeMahieu base hit there, and the Yankees take 2-3 from the Blue Jays. Before we discuss that in depth, Bone, we are at Topgolf, and they got a lot going on here, do they not?
Yeah, and it's fantastic hospitality, too. Asha, our server, I mean, the spread that we got, guys, we put it
when,
on Twitter.
I am one of five, seven of the fans. When Bone gets an endorsement, I tell you what, they roll out the red carpet.
The food's incredible. I mean, there's flatbread, there's a barbecue sandwich there.
Drinks.
Boneless boneless chicken wings, which they're giving away for free if you come by.
Are you bone in on chicken boneless chicken wings?
I am very much bone in on chicken wings, and got to shout out our bartenders, John and Niall. I had one drink, Chuck Bucks. He had to twist my arm for it, a little tequila sunrise. I mean, everything's been awesome. And look, I am not a professional golfer by any stretch. You guys saw me. Chuck's trying to fix me. There's so much for you to do, bunch of games, and they got the Sure Thing Club. Makes it easier for bad golfers like me.
Mateo will be here for a birthday party tomorrow. Oh, it's good for kids.
Awesome.
It's good for everybody.
Everybody. And look, you just want to come watch the game. It's right by M&T Bank Stadium, 1411 Warner Street. Come on out. We're here till 6.
So let's get back to this series. The Orioles took 3 of 4 from the Blue Jays early in the week, losing the second game of a doubleheader. But the Yankees now take 2 of 3 from the same Blue Jay team in the weekend. They needed 10 innings to take the series.
Look, this was a series, and I wasn't sure it was going to be. So the Blue Jays showed me a little something. They obviously have gutted their bullpen. They've got major bullpen issues. Vladdy's continuing to destroy the ball. Why you would pitch to him at all? You know, like, I don't really get, and I'm hoping the Orioles don't pitch to him, but the Yankees have turned things around. There's no two ways about that. The Yankees are scoring runs at a better clip than they were before. I am not ready to call the Yankees a juggernaut by any stretch of the imagination. But boy, oh boy, Aaron Judge just keeps hitting not just home runs, first inning home runs.
Yeah, and 470-foot home runs.
Yeah, he's going to run away with the AL MVP, I believe. But these Yankees are not infallible. Like, they're just not. And Stroman is becoming a problem. Stroman has given up a ton of hard contact and home runs in that home at home. He's not built for that ballpark. And I between him and Heel, and one of those two is coming out of that rotation.
And also, guys, Cole, I mean, he's still like kind of shaking things off in the middle of his start. Obviously had to have the start pushed back because of the soreness, wasn't responding
Soreness.
Yeah, general soreness strikes again, but yeah, it was standing back, and you add Chisholm, you obviously have a lot more pop than they did. I mean, this is a team that was having Jemai freaking Jones lead off for them and back cleanup on a nightly basis.
Let's go stay in the division, but the Tampa Bay Rays were in Houston, and or actually playing Houston, and what happened there?
Diaz to right. That's well hit. Leaping up is Leon, and that ball is gone. Another line drive home run. This one off the bat of Yandy Diaz. His 10th of the season, a solo shot to give the Rays a 3-1 lead.
Rays then beat the Astros yesterday 1-0. How is Yandy, by the way, how's Yandy Diaz still in Tampa? Like, the fact they didn't trade him is a little surprising to me. But Houston trying to win that AL West, which Seattle now leads by a game. Rangers are 5.5 back now. But Tampa Bay playing some decent baseball of late.
Yeah, Josh Lowe is now looking fully healthy for the first time in a long time, and he's starting to damage the baseball. They didn't trade as many guys as they could have, but obviously they traded a Rosarena. They traded Paredes. This, to me, is more about Houston. Like, I thought Houston was about to go on a tear, and they're still just unable to do it. And Tampa won the final two games of this series. Houston's only 5-5 in their last 10. Like, I don't know. We saw the Orioles go there. They embarrassed the Orioles. They pulled all the way from 10 back to basically get ahead of the Mariners.
Yeah.
Now they're one behind the Mariners again. Like, you don't hear anything about Kyle Tucker coming back. Like,
no.
That doesn't sound like that's remotely around the corner.
Last time Dana Brown talked, they said it's slow.
Like, I now I'm starting to waver on them a little bit. And it's funny, baseball's a long season, it ebbs and flows. But, like, the Rangers can't get out of their own way. And now the Astros weren't able to even win a series against the depleted Rays team. And you start to look at Seattle and say, well, Rosarena's had some big hits. And, my God, if they hit the ball at all, right? Like Victor Robles has been, like, nothing short of a sensation for them. And so you get Julio back, and you've added a Rosarena, and maybe Robles keeps it together. With their starting pitching, who knows?
Yeah, it definitely looks like it's going to be nip and tuck the rest of the way, where it looked like the Astros, when they did take the lead in that division, that they maybe not coast, but you know, it wasn't going to be a dogfight like it is. But, guys, I'd also say this, just looking at the two AL East team, the Rays and the Jays, and the fact that both of those teams sold, and it's not like either of them are laying it down. And I bring that up because that's obviously the Orioles' next two opponents in Toronto and at St. Pete.
And it's also an odd year. Like, I saw something this morning. No team is on pace to win 100 games this year.
Yeah.
Like Phillies, they buy at the trade deadline. Looks like everything's great, and it still might turn out their way. But they lose six in a row before winning yesterday. Like,
and they start a really interesting series with the Dodgers, who the A's gave the Dodgers everything they could handle this weekend. Now, Kershaw's supposed to come back and pitch tomorrow night, but he hasn't been good in a long time. Like, I don't know. They are getting Freddie Freeman back, and that was a really scary situation there with his son. So we're obviously all happy that, you know, his family's doing okay, his son's doing okay. Looks like he's going to be out of the hospital, and Freddie Freeman back to playing baseball. But, yeah, that's going to be an interesting Dodgers-Phillies series this week because neither of those teams is firing on all cylinders.
San Francisco Giants aren't firing on all cylinders, but Blake Snell is of late, Ben.
De La Cruz. He hits a fly ball right center. Yastrzemski has it! And Blake Snell has pitched the first no-hitter of his brilliant career.
Blake Snell throws the no-hitter the other night. Not only is it his first no-hitter, it's his first complete game of his career.
Yeah.
He had never gotten to the ninth.
He'd never thrown a pitch in the ninth.
No, he had not, and he throws a no-hitter. He's been utterly dominant of late. He's still a Giant. I don't know if he's going to opt out. I was hearing John Heyman this morning, MLB Central, saying there's no – that, like, the way he's pitched the last month, he might still opt out now.
Oh, I think he's going to opt out.
Yeah.
I think Boris wants another bite at the apple. I think that is he one of the ones who fired Boris, though? Or,
no, I don't
or was
know.
That Jordan Montgomery?
That was Montgomery.
Yeah. I'm sure Boris will still be pushing for that. I mean, look, it's the National League. These guys are still in it. But what he's done since he's come back from his second stint on the IL is ridiculous. Like, these are his last five starts. Five innings, one hit, no earned. Seven innings, one hit, no earned. Six innings, four hits, two earned.
Awesome.
Six innings, two hits, no earned. Nine innings, no hits, no earned. Look, he is still walking two or three guys a game. Like, that's always going to be his bugaboo. But, I mean, nobody's pitching better than him in baseball right now. Like, that's just a fact.
I really wonder what the Giants were asking for him.
Yeah.
You know, when you're just 4.5 games back, but we know the jumbled mess that is the National League and the amount of teams that they would have to jump in order to possibly secure one of those wild card spots, knowing that the opt-out is a serious possibility.
Yeah, he's a rental.
You really wonder what the asking price was.
Coming up next, we get back to the Orioles and who is going to be closing games for them tomorrow, September, beyond. Is it a committee? We'll discuss next here on The Fan.
Now their bullpen needs to be a better version of itself.
And Cano does the job tonight. Gets the save in a 1-2-3 ninth. The Guardians scored the first two of the game. Baltimore came back, but the Orioles snapped the two-game skid and have a chance to even up the series getting out of Cleveland tomorrow.
And the 3-1 offering is a slow chopper to first. And the Orioles get the split. They win the last two. Cleveland takes the season series, but they lose for the second straight time to Baltimore.
Heard some highlights, Fox and Bally Sports Great Lakes there. A couple of Orioles. Well, one was a save situation, one wasn't. But you had Yennier Cano getting the save on Saturday. Sir Anthony Dominguez finishing on Sunday. Craig Kimbrell did get up, but he did not come in the game. And the Orioles did not. They did get a couple of guys at the deadline, both Sir Anthony Dominguez and Soto, and Greg Soto has had troubles in both outings. Got two outs yesterday, but gave a base runner and was taken out.
Two hits.
Sir Anthony Dominguez, for me, he got beat by Jose Ramirez. But the other two, I liked what I've seen other than that. But do they really have a guy you trust late innings as we head towards the postseason?
No. I mean, we dissected the deadline quite a bit last week with you out.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that they didn't address was someone who has been pitching the ninth inning on another club, who was in good form, who could come here and be better than anything they had. And my immediate reaction to everything they did was, Cano's still probably the best thing they have in the ninth inning. And I think the last two games would tell you that the skipper agrees with me.
Uh-huh.
And whether you want to call that a save situation or not, they could not afford to blow that thing yesterday after everything they've been through and everything we've seen. And with a day off on Monday, he was going to go with his best guy. He wasn't going to take any chances. And he told you his best guy wasn't Kimbrel. It was Cano. And getting Danny Colon back would be huge.
Yep.
But Soto is like...
Well, he looks terrible
so far. He can't face anything other than a lefty. And even then, he's not very good. And we'll see if this Dominguez stuff is sustainable. I don't like Dominguez against lefties. And he faced a special switch hitter. But I think some not-so-special lefties, especially in Camden Yards, are going to be a problem for him with the kind of damage they can do from that side. Like, he's better than Brian Baker. He's better than...
Basically better than anything they have.
Who's not here. He's better than anything they have right now, probably. I prefer Burt Smith to him. I'm just going to be honest. If we're talking about who's in form right now, I prefer Burt Smith to Dominguez. But he's like a guy who's pitching in. He's not. If that's who they're going to in September, it's suboptimal. And if you're asking me, my greatest fear for this team, it's that they don't have the caliber of arms you need in the eighth and ninth inning in the playoffs. You can go by committee now when you're already 20-some games over .500 and get into the playoffs. But when the magnitude of every at-bat is at that level, they just don't – they can't match up like other teams can.
No. No, and it by far and away is the biggest question mark for this team as we're close to entering the stretch run of this season where you bring – we saw what happened to the Phillies bullpen last year, and yes, those three guys, Soto, Dominguez, Craig Kimbrel, were front and foremost for those situations. And I just don't know. Coulomb, if he can come back, and really you're threading a needle with him,
yes,
because you're going to want him to come back in the middle of September, give him some outings to kind of ramp back up and get into form, because he was their best reliever this season prior to going down.
We're forgetting somebody else who they have used in high leverage before when they've had to, and that's Cino Perez. And but he's
good weekend for Cino.
Yeah.
Great weekend,
yes,
for Cino.
Yeah, and he's...
Is that sustainable?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, so that like...
I'll say this. I prefer him from the left side than Soto.
Yeah. And when Coulomb, assuming he gets back, you've got him and you've got Perez and Coulomb, that makes Soto your third lefty.
Well, and what they're really going to have to evaluate here, as much as all of us wanted to see life without Keegan Aiken, if Soto were 2 weeks from now and he looks like literally a guy you just want to face one lefty and nothing else, and that's who I think he is, then is Keegan Aiken more valuable to them with the length he can provide from the left side versus Soto? I think they're going to have to be real about what they bought.
I also wonder, and I'm not saying these are high leverage guys, but like, let's get back to those two young guys who are pitching at Norfolk. Are they better suited for the bullpen, or Chase McDermott and Cade Povich? And Cade Povich just came off a nice start. But like, are they more suited to be bullpen arms for this team?
Well, I'll tell you this. If they don't start the transition soon, it's not happening. I mean, you know what, the first time that we're not going to duplicate a Baldo. The first time the guy comes
no,
out of
you
the pen is in this, you know, is in
no.
a tie game in a winner take all. Like, so if that's not happening soon, it's not going to happen. I mean, Norfolk season's over in the middle of September. You don't have that much runway left. Like, if they're not transitioning now, then they don't look at them as an option. Now, are there other people down there who they still might prefer to, you know, Soto if he can't get it done or whatever? Like,
they cut your boy.
Oh, he gone. Yeah.
Yeah,
Charles.
Yeah, he went back to Double A for a spell. Wasn't going well there, and he's gone.
But, Jason, I would be surprised if we saw both of them in the bullpen at the same time, and we know that both of them have issues with walks, but wouldn't you think McDermott would be the better fit for a bullpen just because he can get more swing and miss?
Yeah, if you let him, because if you let him air it out one inning, he's probably humping it up there 97, 98 instead of 95 where he sits as a starter.
But Dominguez is a righty. And
yeah,
he's obviously in the late inning mix.
But we know that
Cano's from the right side.
Yes.
And if Colon comes back, he's good against lefties and righties. They wanted to go get somebody who could be dominant against lefties. I think Soto, the way you have to use him, is going to render him – relatively insignificant. I would be more inclined to say the lefty because he's seen more of the major leagues. Yeah. He's a little bit more developed. He's got a better in totality pitch mix, I think. And I think his velo will play up if he's only got to get three or four outs. And so can he sit 95, 96 instead of 94 in relief outings? If he can, then I think the issue is going to be lefties.
Last thing before we step out, what is Craig Kimbrell's role here? Like, are they going to try to let him get some save opportunities? Like, he's here. You're not going to go a man short. How do they use it? I was frankly surprised when that became a four-inning game yesterday. They didn't let him pitch the ninth. I think he was up. Like, let him come in a four-inning game, four-run game in the ninth inning.
I mean, look, they can say whatever they want to say about him. We've talked about this for years, right? They tell you what they think of him by what they pay him and how they use him and where what they gave up to get him. And where is he? He's a floater. He's going to float in and out. They're going to try to build his confidence back up. They're going to try to see if his velo ticks up with this sporadic usage. But he's not the closer of this team. That's for damn sure.
No.
Not right now, no. And I don't think for the foreseeable future.
Coming up next, Northern Exposure, and it's been a minute since we've heard from Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin. Do they have a quarterback controversy in Pittsburgh? We'll hear from the Steelers head coach, Northern Exposure, next here on The Fan.
I think it's important that we respect the get-to-know process professionally in a setting like this, that we spend a lot of time together. Not only him, but Justin and the other quarterbacks are new here, too. I meet with those guys every morning at 8 o'clock to kind of get the day started, whether we got subject matter to talk about or not, because there's no substitute for time spent in terms of getting to know one another, us being able to see around corners collectively as leaders, me as a coach leader, they as player leaders. And so, you know, we got a lot of things to cover, and we're just chipping away at it and trying to be proactive in that regard. It's been a good process thus far.
Mike Tomlin talking about his quarterback room, and he's got some stuff going on here. Russell Wilson's got that calf injury. He's got Justin Fields as well. For the record, I don't like either of them, but Justin Fields is younger. And is it possible, Jason, that Justin Fields could be starting for them come week one?
Absolutely. I can tell you this much. When he had Ben Roethlisberger, he wasn't meeting with Ben Roethlisberger at 8 a.m. every morning up there at the college, up in the Poconos there where they have is it St. Thomas Fisher, I think it is? Anyway, beautiful, picturesque setting up there.
Nice.
But he and Big Ben weren't meeting at 8 every day. I think that's a little portal into, frankly, maybe just how open this competition is. And he wants to keep taking their temperature every day. And Tomlin wants to brush up against them, obviously, at the start of every workday. Russell Wilson has missed some time. Russell Wilson's a declining asset, and I think Justin Fields is an asset that they bought low on that they could polish up, and maybe he becomes a long-term solution, or maybe he becomes a chip that they use in you know, some way, shape, or form down the line to acquire other talent. But I can't imagine Justin Fields isn't going to get quite a run here in the preseason. As much as we talk so much this time of year about who's not going to play, and especially with Russell Wilson already missing valuable, precious practice time and nursing a soft tissue injury, I feel like Justin Fields has a chance to rally the locker room around him here.
Well, the all this time that he's missed and reports out of Pittsburgh camp, it sounds like Justin Fields has been, you know, his level of play has been picking it up. But I it's going to be interesting. Russ, you wouldn't expect him to play this week, but next week, Jason, I mean, both of them are, they got to play in the preseason.
I would think they would both play a half of that game.
Yeah.
It's much interesting.
Which you do not see, you know, starting quarterbacks, especially a guy, Russ, who's been in this league for how many years?
Poor Russ. Hey, more from Mike Tomlin, talks about coaching Justin Fields.
You know, I guess the big thing, the message that informally, formally, whatever you want to call it, that I want to continue to relate to him is, I don't want to squash his natural instincts, you know. His mobility and escapability is a weapon, and we don't want to minimize that. We don't want him overthinking. We want him to play fast and fluid. And so, if anything, that from a messaging standpoint, I've probably mentioned that to him a few times. He's new to the environment. I don't want him to, you know, overanalyze what we might be thinking. I want him to do what comes natural as it pertains to his game.
His athleticism is off the charts. Like there's no argument there. He's a freak.
We're parsing here, but if he's leaning into that outwardly that much now, and it's looking good in camp, and I got news for you. He's played against much tougher competition than he's going to get, especially in this first preseason game against a bunch of guys who don't have a future, at least in the NFL, maybe in some other league. Like, I can't imagine he doesn't shine. Like, if you know that's there for you with one guy, and you know the other guy used to be that guy but doesn't want to lean into that anymore,
no.
Doesn't really want to play option football, doesn't want to be nearly as activated in the run game as he was when the Seahawks were winning world championships. And there's no fiduciary incentive for either.
No.
They're both balling on a budget. I'm just saying, man. I would not rule this out. And maybe Russ starts the first game. But how long before the first third down, is it Justin Fields package time? And then once that starts, unless the kid pees down his leg, and if he gives you a boost in efficiency in the run game, and how's he not, then doesn't that carry the day?
We're still a little more than a month away from week one, but something that we kept hearing repeatedly during this offseason is the Steelers trying to be proactive in bringing in another receiver, because right now that receiving room is still pretty bare. Are you hearing anything in that regard, Jason?
They're
still pushing?
They're not done. I mean, they are not done. The money is there. Ownership's aware of what the price is, the going rate. And they want to add a legitimate wide receiver. They're not talking about playing around on the margins. Now, where they will draw a line is draft pick compensation. And everybody's drawn a line on Brandon Ayuk to this point on draft pick compensation. The 49ers couldn't get anything close to as much of a one as they wanted, like a legitimate one, mm-hmm. like a one in the top 25 picks or so, not the last pick of the first round or whatever. Like, they couldn't get that then. That draft has passed. If San Francisco is willing to accept this for what it is, it's a bit of a salary dump at this stage. I would expect them to be as aggressive as anybody for Brandon Ayuk's services.
And just so people are aware, Ayuk hasn't practiced yet, correct? He's like doing a hold him.
He's there, but he's not
in meetings,
doing a whole lot.
But he's not doing anything.
But I'm sure he's working out on his own, whatever. Yeah. Like, I guarantee you he's in shape.
Yeah. No, but I mean, he's not an active participant in 49ers drills while he's working on this situation,
no,
whether
he
it be doesn't contract
want to, he gets or trade. It's everybody's screwed.
Yeah. Coming up next, Ravens have wrapped up training camp practice for the day. Rashad Bateman went down and had to be attended to and left the field. We'll check in with Jonas Schaefer. He covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner, and he joins us next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.